provides.
That's Darren Lubotsky, an economist with the University of Illinois. The contract between the state and AFSCME, the state's largest public employee union, expired on June 30th. But AFSCME and the governor agreed to extend the contract through July 31st while the two sides continue negotiating. For more on this story and other state budget news, go to willnews.org. This is Morning Edition on WILL.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
Good morning. It's time for the opening commodity market report here on WILL. I'm Brian Moline. Shanghai stocks lost ground, but other international stock markets gained today after China's better-than-expected economic growth in the second quarter. Investors are awaiting the Greek parliamentary vote on a bailout deal and the Fed chair's speech on the U.S. economic outlook. Futures point to a tepid start on Wall Street. Benchmark U.S. crude fell below $53 per barrel. The dollar gained against the yen and slipped against the euro. December corn was lower early with light to moderate rain in store for the central and northern plains today. Generally favorable for row crops with the eastern Midwest getting a much needed break from the rain. Meanwhile, November soybeans lower early today, pressured by a drier forecast for the eastern Midwest and beneficial rains in Nebraska. The Dow reported overnight that China's official GDP was up 7% in the second quarter from a year ago, more than expected. Normally that would be bullish news for soybeans, but many are questioning the government's figures as possibly being too rosy. We'll get more details on the markets coming up in a few minutes with Bill Gentry at Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. But right now, it's time to check the weather in the growing areas with World Weather Incorporated's Drew Lerner. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Brian. It's a good start to the day, but we do have thunderstorms out in parts of Nebraska at this hour and parts of northeastern Kansas, for that matter, that will be moving across the western Corn Belt. Now, this is an area we haven't been focused on very much here recently. It's been drying down a bit, though, in Iowa and some neighboring areas out there in Nebraska, and this rain coming up is going to be perfect for replenishing topsoil moisture and setting the stage for more aggressive crop development in those areas. The temperatures in the western Corn Belt have been ebbing their way higher in recent weeks, so that does have these soil conditions on the decline, at least in some locations with quick drying rates. But this shower and thunderstorm activity that occurs today will extend from Nebraska to Wisconsin, including much of Iowa and portions of southern Minnesota, maybe even southeastern South Dakota. We'll end up seeing a nice little boost in topsoil moisture. In the meantime, the badly needed drying tendency in the eastern parts of the lower Midwest will continue for a day or two here, but we don't see absolute dryness lasting for very long. There will be an increase in potential shower activity as we get towards the end of this week. These will be mostly instability showers, but they will still be showers and still bring some more rain to Indiana and parts of Ohio as we get out towards the afternoon on Friday and continuing into Saturday. A lot of this precipitation is not going to be heavy, but it will slow down that drying tendency that we've been hoping for that would last for a longer period of time than this. But the good news is that there shouldn't be any real heavy amounts of rainfall. Totals on Friday going to Saturday morning will be mostly less than a half inch. Southern parts of Indiana, southern Ohio, down into Kentucky will probably see just trace amounts to a couple tenths of an inch. Now, that's not the only rain that's on the charts for the lower eastern Midwest, though. We will have opportunity for some instability showers to pop up on Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon across some of these areas. But these will be different from the rains we've seen in the past. They will just be instability showers that occur in the afternoon heating. We will see warmer temperatures during that period of time, so the temperatures will get up into the 80s, maybe coming close to 90 degrees in some locations. That will destabilize the atmosphere and will pull moisture out of the soil and help to induce those showers and thunderstorms. But they will be light in intensity, rarely producing more than a quarter of an inch, but they will be around. And it's not just Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky that will be involved with those. We'll see those similar conditions occurring in other areas across the Midwest. There will be a frontal system that will come southward out of Canada, perhaps Sunday into Monday. That frontal system will help to enhance some of the rainfall in the northern parts of the Midwest. Wisconsin and Iowa, again, will be the center of attention with that system coming southward on Sunday into Monday. And when it gets down to the lower Midwest, it's probably going to run out of some fuel, so we're not expecting a lot of hefty rainfall to occur in the lower parts of the region, but we will see some showers and thunderstorms scattering across the area as we get into Tuesday and possibly Wednesday of next week. After that, we'll see another short-term bout of drier conditions, and the heat will be back again, and we'll see the temperatures warming back up towards the second half of next week. We'll see a lot of 80-degree temperatures coming up over the next 2 weeks. That'll be great for a lot of the corn across the region. Soybeans will like it as well. There may even be some temperatures that get up into the lower 90s periodically on the warm side of this frontal boundary we've talked about here. So for the most part, it should be a very good pollination environment with the exception of those exceptionally wet areas in the lower eastern Midwest. But we do expect gradual improvement to occur in those areas. In the meantime, the drier soil in the west will likely get moistened up at timely intervals. This is Drew Lerner.
Thank you very much, Drew. And we'll take a look at the forecast here locally here in just a moment. But right now it's time to check in with Bill Gentry at Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Bill, good morning. Checking out the board here today. Looks like things pretty mixed so far this morning.
It sure is. Thanks, Brian. Yeah, it is a relatively mixed picture with a defensive bias kind of staring us in the face. Old crop corn up a fraction of a cent at 428 and three quarters. New crop up three quarters of a cent at 439 and a half. Old crop beans down 7 3/4 at 10 1/4. And November beans 10.16 and three quarters down about 8 1/4. Mildly defensive tone there as well. Looking at the products, soybean oil down 43 at 31.97 a pound. And looking at the soybean meal, we're trading at 358.40. That's up about $1.20 a pound, a ton, sorry. Wheat market mildly defensive as well, down about 4 cents in the old crop, 2 cents in the new. And they, looking at the Kansas City wheat, it's down about 1 3/4. September trading at 559 1/4. Minneapolis wheat, about 590, down 1 1/4. Looking at our hog market, mildly defensive, down about 85 cents. 75.07 a pound in cattle market, down about 27 cents at 146.87. Feeders on the upside, probably inverse relationship to the corn early, 214.67 basis the August. Looks like the dollar market is a little bit stronger, and other currency markets, the euro is a little bit weaker. Looking at our interpretation of the markets, it appears that we're kind of in midstream in a corrective phase. We talked about this last week about a three-day correction or a three-week correction. It looks like we're midpoint in probably a three-week correction, looking for our wheat market for a little bit of leadership. But right this minute, mildly defensive. Thinking in crop conditions, looking at our corn crop, it's getting pollinated nicely. When we talk about removing variables of production, that's probably one of those notches that allows the trade to look at it and say, we're probably a little bit better than we were a while ago as far as getting things done, so they can take a little bit of the premium out. Our expectation in the broad strokes, however, is that the crop's probably more hindered than the trade realizes. The black box movement's probably going to be a little bit of a laggard, so we assume that we're probably going to see some more buying interest probably in the next week or 10 days. Also keep in mind when we look at our the commitment of traders report, funds have moved from a short position to a net long position over the last several weeks, and we would expect that buying interest to continue just with a little bit of a pause here. Beans to be in a similar state third week for the July reels. This weather forecast for the third week of July is going to reveal our first glimpse of August weather. Our determination right now is agronomically, we wanted to see what kind of activity is going on beneath the ground. What kind of roots do we have? What kind of disease pressure are we going to develop? So in the broad strokes, I think realistically, we're going to be evaluating that very, very closely, and that'll probably determine our upside prospects for beans. Other than that, not much new and exciting. We'll just look for a little bit of positive price action going forward. This is Bill Gentry with Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana.
All right, thanks. Bill, thanks a lot. Have yourself a great day.
You too.
That's Bill Gentry checking in with us on this Wednesday morning. A couple of other notes for you today. Among economic reports due out, the Labor Department will put out the Producer Price Index for June. Also, the Federal Reserve releases industrial production figures and will distribute its Beige Book. Bank of America reports quarterly financial results before the market opens, as does Delta Airlines. And Netflix will report its quarterly financial results after the market closes. And meanwhile, Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras remains in a bind as Parliament considers a critical vote today on the latest bailout deal that will saddle citizens with even more austerity. The alternative is possible collapse and an exit from the euro currency. Checking the weather forecast here locally, mostly sunny skies today. Very pleasant out there with a high of 80 degrees, northeast winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, a low of 61. Tomorrow, partly sunny and a high of 82. Things will start to warm up over the weekend, along with a chance of showers and thunderstorms Thursday night. Mostly cloudy skies and a low of 70 degrees. Friday, partly sunny, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, a high of 89. And for Saturday, mostly sunny skies and a high of 91. Things could get a little unpleasant out there Saturday afternoon, with the highest heat index readings on Saturday afternoon up around 108. Stay tuned. Another hour of Morning Edition is coming up here on WILL. This is Illinois Public Media, WILL AM 580 and WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana. I'm Brian Moline. It's 9 o'clock.
Good morning. Israel's prime minister says the Iran nuclear deal is a historic mistake and that his country is not bound by it. A conversation with Benjamin Netanyahu on Morning Edition from NPR News. Netanyahu says Iran will just keep up its aggressive behavior and will report on one aspect of the nuclear deal that could allow Iran to buy and sell more weapons. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm David Green. Renee mentioned the Iran deal first today because it's important, top of our story list. But as NPR's Shankar Vedantam tells us, lists can cause us to make irrational choices. Rational or not, the people of Streeter, Illinois love Pluto because of the planet, or a dwarf planet's connection to a hometown hero. And a Sweet Home Alabama birthday, Leonard Skinner's Artemis Pyle turns 67 on this Wednesday, July 15th. And the news is coming up next.